What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Pro Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Arthur Arkish. Pleased once again that you are with me. It's the second podcast of the week, the second podcast of Super Bowl week. So I thought we'd have to do it up big. And I had Hub Arkish on the program this morning, Thursday, setting the scene in Houston. Our publisher and editor Hub is down there and saw the State of the League address from Roger Goodell on Wednesday and has kind of been, you know, he's been taking in all the pressers, obviously, for both the Patriots and Falcons. So kind of helped us get a feel of what it's like down there. I also shared some thoughts from the Senior Bowl, observations I had down from Mobile last week, and also my reactions to the general manager hirings from Sunday in Indianapolis and San Francisco, of course. So if you haven't checked that one out already, I would encourage you to do so. And you can do that, obviously, by heading over to iTunes and making sure you are subscribed to the Pro Football Weekly Podcast. While you're there, we'd love it if you left us a review. And tell your friends, tell your family and friends. So before we dive into the second podcast of the week, I've got Ty Shalter and Andrew Garda, two weekly Pro Football Weekly contributors who have been nice enough to come on and help me break down the X's and the O's and all the good stuff before the big game. I do want to quickly familiarize you with our great sponsor, Loot Crate. On a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles this holiday season, Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. Whether you're shopping for the geek in your life or if you are that geek, Loot Crate is the best surprise you know is coming. Every month there's a different theme and new exclusive items you can only get with Loot Crate. Treat yourself every month or give the gift of geeking out to a friend or loved one. Roll up your sleeves and get ready to celebrate some of pop culture's most put-together franchises. February's hands-on theme is Build and features Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Batman, Lego Dimensions, and Tetris. And as always, our monthly t-shirt and pin. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate. And when the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. Make sure to head to www.lootcrate.com/Shaw and enter the code Shaw, S-H-A-W, to save $3 off any new subscription today. All right. Thanks again to our wonderful sponsor, Loot Crate. And let's go ahead and bring in our first guest, Ty Shalter. You guys know his work not only every week at ProFootballWeekly.com, his hot read column, but you can find him over at 538, The Comeback, in various other spots, and at Twitter, on Twitter, of course, at Ty Shalter. And let's bring in Ty and see what he thinks about Super Bowl 51 matchup. Pleased to be joined now by Ty Shalter. You guys know his work not only from ProFootballWeekly.com, but of course 538 and The Comeback, and he's been nice enough to join the podcast on several occasions. Ty's back again to preview, well, this is certainly the game of the week. Ty, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Arthur. Thanks for having me back on.
Yeah, of course. The pleasure is always ours, and I'm just going to launch right in. Everyone knows what Bill Belichick has done in the past, whether it was as Giants defensive coordinator, disarming the K-gun, whether it was grounding the greatest show on turf. Do you think that he and Matt Patricia have one more magic act in their arsenal, and what exactly are they going to do to counter this Falcons number one scoring offense, this high-flying Falcons offense?
Yeah, great question. And I believe that is the question for this game is, can the Patriots slow them down? Obviously, like you said, number one scoring defense, very, very smart defense, very tough defense. It's execution based. You know, Belichick and Patricia have been doing a great job with the X's and O's, and they have players that are going to go and do exactly what they want. And that's crucial, because if you want to stop the Falcons, their run game is very strongly based on a lot of zones, a lot of stretches, a lot of counters. They're trying to open up a seam. Both Coleman and Freeman are tailbacks who love to hit a seam and get big chunk yards going up the middle. So you've got to have that discipline up front. That's the Patriots' strength. However, the problem is you've got this front seven and you've got safeties and you're trying to make sure everybody's in position to hit all their run fits. That also means you're pretty static in coverage. And so that's what Kyle Shanahan's been able to exploit all season long is, you know, if you are constantly moving safeties up or keeping them at home too deep over the top of your front seven, then he knows where they are and he can scheme around them and he can hit holes in the zones and get guys open where you don't have defenders. And it's very difficult to window dress your coverage. It's very difficult to bluff or disguise the looks when you're trying to maintain that run discipline. So that's the pick your poison thing that every defensive coordinator, every head coach that's defensive minded has had to deal with. So Belichick and Patricia, right now, what they've been doing is a lot of rotation, a lot of situational use out of these guys like Shea McClellan, Kyle Van Noy, using them in the situations where they want them and switching them out repeatedly to get the best player for the best job at the best time. They're going to match up against some of these guys. It's a great question. You know, I think Devin McCourty is going to be a player that's very key. How they use him as a safety, how they use him over the slot, how they use him to keep a lid on some of these guys like Taylor Gabriel, Justin Hardy. They can get explosive plays downfield out of the slot or out of the outside. I wonder if they aren't going to move him around a little bit just to keep Kyle Shanahan guessing and disrupt some of the matchup dictation that Shanahan does with his sets and looks.
You know, Ty, great kind of breakdown there. And everyone knows that it's a player's league, but that is one of the many awesome aspects of the Super Bowl is I think it probably does pit some of the best play callers in the game right now between Patricia and Shanahan, Belichick, et cetera. You know, I think there's a little bit of a misnomer, maybe not a misnomer, but everyone loves that juicy blue chip matchup and everyone's dying to know what the Patriots are going to do about Julio Jones. It's probably not quite, I mean, I think you can get in trouble if you focus on that too much just because of all the other weapons you alluded to. But because he is probably the best wide receiver on the planet and because the Patriots do have at least one lockdown corner, but they've been using him differently week to week. That's the other million-dollar question here. Will it be Malcolm Butler? Will it be Logan Ryan with help? What do you anticipate, in trying to stop Julio Jones? Probably the most unstoppable force in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's another great question because you look at him and go, he's a guy who dictates matchups. He's a guy that makes you account for him. But the Falcons have been doing a great job of doing damage with all the other chess pieces also. Right. So for me, I don't think they're going to try and shadow Julio with Butler because I think Butler and Ryan, you've got McCourty in the back. And then I think coverage-wise, I think they're going to play it safe early. You know, the thing with Tom Brady is we know you got to try and rattle him quickly. You got to get a bunch of heat on him early. You can't sit back in zones like Pittsburgh did and let him pick you apart because he will. I wonder if, you know, Matt Ryan is not quite the same quarterback in that sense. So if you sit back early and try and keep a lid on the scoring, because I think the one thing the Patriots can't do is fall behind early. Yep. So I think they're going to be able to double and, you know, not really triple, quote unquote, team Julio Jones. But if you've got linebackers out in space helping cover the middle zone, you've got safeties rolling just a little bit. And again, you're opening yourself up to the run that way. But I think they would rather die by a thousand cuts early and keep it close than go out and go, okay, we're putting Julio on an island with Butler and then risk going down, you know, 10, 14 points in the first quarter and have to play catch up because the Falcons defense is built to play with a lead and the Patriots offense is not built to play catch up.
Right. Yeah, I'm absolutely with you in that approach. I mean, we saw it, you know, teams kind of fail in trying to zone out the Falcons, and Matt Ryan's just been too precise with the football. I think we may see something similar to what the Patriots did in that Rams Super Bowl and just tried some feisty outside coverage, but a variety of different methods. So let's kind of flip the script real quick, Ty. It's the youngest rookie defensive foundation, I believe, in Super Bowl history that Dan Quinn will be marching out there. We all know about Tom Brady's experience, Bill Belichick's experience.
Yeah.
Which one wins?
Great question. For me, it's very difficult because you don't have on the other side of the ball, you don't have a Julio Jones. You know, you don't have a Rob Gronkowski.
Right.
You've been making do with guys like Chris Hogan. And, you know, again, not to besmirch Hogan, but he's a guy who's maximizing his athletic ability. And the Patriots are maximizing the damage that he can do within that scheme. So they are able to get chunk points. They are chunk plays. They are able to get points in bunches. But it's, you know, the margins are very small. And like I said, the Falcons defense is built to play with a lead. They're going to be very aggressive early, I would think. You know, they don't do a lot of exotic things scheme wise, but Quinn may want to try some of that. just to throw Belichick that offensive line, Tom Brady off his game early, maybe move Beasley around a little bit, maybe shift some formations and alignments to try and get some matchups you're not used to seeing, some inside stunts. You're trying to get some of that pressure up the middle from Babineau, Hageman, those guys to try and disrupt that passing game early. The question is, can Tom Brady sort of Julian Edelman the Falcons to death like he did against the Seahawks? I mean, because that's what it comes down to. You know, can you move the chains? Can you complete 80% of your passes? Can you hit that 5 and 7 yard slant over and over and over and over? You can, but then again, this plays back into the other thing of you can't fall behind early and do that. You can't go down 10, 14 points like the Packers did. You know, Aaron Rodgers might be able to play catch up, even though he didn't. Tom Brady, I don't think, can keep up with this Falcons offense if he gets behind early. So I feel like both teams are going to try and play close to the vest a little bit early, because, you know, one mistake can snowball in either direction, just like we saw with Peyton Manning against the Seahawks. The margin for error is very small for Tom Brady and the Patriots right now. So I don't want to say they're going to come in and play conservative, but I do think they're going to use White a lot out of the backfield. I do think they're going to stick to high percentage stuff at the beginning. The last thing you want is a turnover. The last thing you want is a three and out. You don't want to give Matt Ryan the ball any more quickly than you have to.
Right. You know, Ty, between besmirch and Julian Edelman as a verb, I've got some new writing ideas to try and use from our interview. So I appreciate that. And
Anytime.
And you're so kind and gracious that you keep telling me good question, but I know I'm asking the obvious ones. Look, it's we've already beat this to death. You get the extra week of the Super Bowl. Everyone knows the matchups. Yes. We're just trying to break it down the best we can. I'm putting you on the spot here. I don't know if you're doing, I hope you are, but I'm not sure if you're doing a hot read for our website this week. Nonetheless, you probably have an unknown player or two that you think could potentially tip the scales in what it sounds like you believe is at least going to be a close game, unlike the rest of the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for me, I do think it's, and again, this is the Super Bowl. We've had 2 weeks on top of an entire year. There's not a waiver wire pickup that's going to start for the Patriots this week, you know, that's going to turn the game around. But I really do think it's going to come down to not Julio, but the Falcons' secondary options. You know, whether it's Toyolo, one of the tight end, you know, it's somebody, whether it's Hardy or Gabriel, mm-hmm. it's going to be one of these secondary receiving options that I think is going to make the big play that breaks the game open for the Falcons. I really do think, and I know the Patriots are so experienced. I know they understand what they're doing in the Super Bowl. They're not bothered. But at the same time, there's been a lot of turnover, even in the past couple of years, on that defense. And a lot of the leaders, you know, it's Brady and a couple of the offensive linemen, a couple of the guys in the secondary. But overall, this is still a different team and a lot of guys that haven't been there. And I don't think it's going to be a roll out of bed. We can handle the Falcons because we're the Patriots. I think it's going to be a very difficult game for the Patriots. And again, one mistake, one big break for the Falcons, one thing goes right early, and it's going to snowball very quickly. I think the Falcons are too balanced, have too many weapons, they're too complete, and again, that defense is built to be aggressive, just like, you know, that's Tom Brady's Achilles heel right now. So I do like the Falcons to win this game, and I do think it's going to be a Taylor Gabriel or a Justin Hardy that makes the difference.
Wow. All right. I love it. Going out there with the underdog. That is a lot of fun. And spending just another minute or two here with Ty Shalter, all kinds of great information for you to kind of sort through. And, you know, I would throw Mohamed Sanu out there, obviously, as well. I know he's kind of the more second known entity on the Falcons, but I think he's probably been their biggest stud behind Julio in these playoffs, which sort of surprised me. I'm not a huge Mohamed Sanu guy, but he's really played well. Just on the flip side, Ty, which of these kind of reclamation projects or relative unknowns on the Patriots defense? You mentioned Shea McClellan, Kyle Van Noy has had a big postseason. Eric Rowe, to the Eagles' chagrin, has played well. Alandon Roberts, the rookie no one knows about. Is there one that sort of jumps out at you, either from a matchup base or just you think that maybe their moment is here to kind of make a name for themselves in their new role and spot?
Well, as we discussed last time we talked, you're a Chicago guy. I'm a Michigan guy. So McClellan and Van Noy stick out. You know, and Van Noy gets the game-sealing pick against Pittsburgh. And I, as I tweeted out, you know, Lions fans everywhere assumed as soon as this happened, Kyle Van Noy leading the Patriots to the Super Bowl. We knew it would happen somehow, some way. Here we are. So maybe Van Noy is the guy. He does have the athleticism, and I do think, and like I said, those matchups, those middle of the field zones, yep. Or the second, third, fourth option for the Falcons, are matching up against linebackers and safeties. I do think that's where the game is going to turn. Van Noy is out there more on passing downs, so maybe he is the unknown guy. You did a great job in bringing up Rowe. I forgot to mention him. He has been a key player and a key contributor to this secondary, and another guy that's going to be responsible for locking down some of these athletic Falcons receivers. So absolutely, that I think is what it's going to come down to. When the Falcons have the ball, do the Patriots have the horses, not just the scheme but the talent, to match up with this offense? I don't think they do. 60 minutes, I don't think they can keep a lid on it for 60 minutes, and that's why I'm taking the Falcons. But Bill Belichick has made me look stupid many times over the years, and I'm fully prepared for it to happen again.
Wait, you're saying Bill Belichick is the smartest guy in the room? No, I would not believe
that. Wow, right. I don't know where I'm getting this stuff. Who knows?
Before I go off on a tangent, yeah, on how the Eagles could let Eric Rowe go, because I like so much of what they did this offseason. Ty, on the way out, let's save the most important question for last. What are your Super Bowl plans? Do you have a tradition, a favorite meal, a favorite beverage?
Break us down
on what's going to be going on in the Shelter household on Sunday.
Years ago, my friends and I put together, we like to do themed parties. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, we decided to do, I'm trying to remember, Texas was involved, and we decided to make it a Texas Tex-Mex Super Bowl, and my wife made fresh churros.
Damn.
And ever since then, we make churros on Super Bowl Sunday. So my wife's churros are a big thing. For me this Sunday, though, I'm actually going to be live blogging the game for 538. So if you go to 538.com, if you were refresh monkeying their election night coverage as I was, it's going to be the same platform, same format. I'm going to be part of a great team over there at 538 live blogging the Super Bowl.
Very cool. I will be sure to check that out. I hope our listeners will do the same. And Ty, I can't thank you enough. I've had so much fun having you on the podcast this season. I will probably continue to pester you throughout the off season, but that was like the absolute perfect breakdown of the Super Bowl. We enjoyed it, and I hope you enjoyed the game, and let's do it again soon, okay?
Sounds great, Arthur. Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
It is always our pleasure. That is Ty Shalter. You can find his work at ProFootballWeekly.com, and in addition, of course, to at 538 Comeback Sports, I believe on Bleacher Report Radio. He's all over the place. Check him out on Twitter as well, at Ty Shalter. And one more time, a big thank you to Ty Shalter. Always fun having him on the program. I've really enjoyed our visits throughout the year, and I hope you have enjoyed them as much as I have. Between Ty and our next guest, Andrew Garda, it's always good to get some real X's and O's type of experts and guys who can really break down these matchups like few others. So that was a lot of fun. And next up is Andrew Garda. Again, you've heard him on the program before. Hopefully you have seen his work on ProFootballWeekly.com, his weekly film reviews. And he did one this week about what the Falcons can do or what they must do to pressure Tom Brady. And without further ado, let's bring him on to dig in a little bit deeper and see what else is going on with Andrew just a few days shy of Super Bowl 51. Up next on the Pro Football Weekly podcast, very pleased to have Andrew Garda jumping on the program. He did a awesome Super Bowl film preview this week at ProFootballWeekly.com, and I thought we would go over that now. Andrew, how are you? Thanks so much for joining the show.
No problem. Always happy to be here and doing all right. Can't complain. It's actually sunny today, so it's good.
All right. Yeah, that's been kind of few and far between here in Chicago, too, but we got a little bit of sun, too, so we will take it. Andrew, you did a really nice piece at the website this week on how the Falcons kind of need to try and pester Tom Brady, or at least what's been effective and what hasn't in the past for other squads. Why don't you take listeners through kind of what's in your film review and what you think the key is for Atlanta and that defense Sunday?
Well, Atlanta was really effective at getting after Aaron Rodgers in the game against the Packers, mostly via edge rush. They did sack him once up the middle, but it was a really weird sack that I broke it down a couple of times, and there really wasn't much to look at because it looked like they caught his shoelace, and that was pretty much it. It was one of those one of those sacks where you don't understand how Aaron Rodgers didn't get away because he's so good at it. But right. most of what they did was off the edge. And what they're going to run into is a Patriots team that is actually pretty fine with you coming in off the edge. Their tackles are very solid. Nate Solder especially is going to be hard to beat on the left side. But the biggest problem Atlanta is going to run into is that when you come in off the edge, you're going to run into Tom Brady stepping up into the pocket. Right. And when he steps up into the pocket, it's really, really tough to get around the guard and the center combo. And David Andrews, the center, Shaq Mason at right guard, and Joe Thuney at left guard have been really effective at protecting Brady and giving him those extra couple of seconds to get the ball off and complete a pass. And we saw that quite a bit, and I broke down one play where the Steelers had a delayed defender coming in, a guy who was delayed pass rush. I don't know that I would have called it a blitz because it wasn't that delayed, but came in and came at Joe Thuney, who was just waiting for him. And then realizing that he wasn't going to easily get to Brady from there, he decided he'd scrape down the line and get around Shaq Mason because Mason and Andrews were double-teaming the nose tackle. Well, Thuney slid over with him, took over the double team with Andrews, and Mason released and picked up the defender on the other side. And it's that kind of communication and that kind of instinct, I guess, as well as anything else would describe it, that make it very tough to beat this interior combination. And in order to shut Brady down, in order to get yourself the shots that you really make to kind of need to disrupt him, you've got to find a way to get those nose tackles, defensive tackles in there and disrupt his inner pocket. So they need guys like Grady Jarrett, Jonathan Babineau, even maybe have a Mike linebacker like Deion Jones or Paul Warlow come in and make sure that Brady's not comfortable in the middle of that pocket. It's not impossible to do. There are a couple of examples from that Steelers game where things didn't go the way that the offensive line really wanted it. And either you had the left tackle or right tackle, disrupted a little bit and you had the Steelers cut inside, or you had, sort of a lack of awareness or a hiccup, I guess is the best way to call it, from Thuney or Mason, where someone was able to head fake them or do a swim move and get past them. And then that made it tough on Brady. Either he was, forced outside and then sacked, or he had to throw the ball away. So that's really, I think, what the Falcons need to do. Find a way to get inside and disrupt that pocket. And if they could do that, then Brady can't step up into the pocket, and those edge rushers that they're very good at sending after the quarterback can finish.
Talking with Andrew Garda, a weekly contributor at Pro Football Weekly. You can also find his work at Sports on Earth. And Andrew, nice enough to join the podcast and break down his most recent film. It was really a preview this time, kind of a review and a preview, I guess. But you mentioned Joe Thuney, and I'm glad you did, because we've spent so much time talking about the Falcons' rookie defenders and how important they are, obviously, to making that defense go. But it is Thuney, who I believe was part of the Chandler Jones deal, that has been playing well for New England. Andrew, was it more about New England not playing as well, though, 3 weeks ago versus Houston, or maybe Pittsburgh not being as well equipped? Because it almost looked like, at least for a while there, Houston had done a pretty good job replicating this blueprint you're talking about, one that was obviously laid out by the Giants during a pair of Super Bowl victories over the past handful of years.
Yeah, and that Giants discussion is actually pretty critical, because, you have guys like Umeniora, mm-hmm. and Mike Strahan, who had great success on the edge. It was a lot of Justin Tuck bringing Absolutely. Up the middle that disrupted things. And I think I feel like with the Texans, it was a matter of they just kind of got worn out after a while. They could only keep up for so long. And with the Steelers, looking back at that game, it seemed like once they got put on their heels, they really kind of got away from, I think, what was going to work for them. And I feel like they didn't try and pressure the middle as much as they should have, mm-hmm. and tried to rely on those edge rushers too much. I think one of the big keys for the Patriots, if they want to stop this, you know, inside rush, so to speak, is to wear down the defensive front with a guy like LeGarrette Blount. I think Blount's going to be someone they should use early and often, so that by the time you hit that third and especially fourth quarter, that Atlanta front seven is going to be tired. And that's when I think you can really do some damage. And I think that to some extent, I mean, it didn't have to go that way for the Steelers because the Steelers kind of fell apart a little bit early. But,
right.
you know, there have been many games this season where the Patriots have worn down the opposition. And then it's that late third, early fourth quarter where they really start to separate themselves.
Yeah, no doubt, Andrew. I'm glad you mentioned it. I said the same thing on our Chicago football television show this morning with LeGarrette Blount, particularly just because of the power that he brings and the size that he brings against that undersized Atlanta front. It's always hard to predict which one of those backs in Belichick's stable is going to be the guy, but it does feel like this could be a Blount game, and I do also agree. It seems like McDaniels and Brady, they like to pass to build the lead and then to try and run to salt it away. I don't know if that'll be the case Sunday or not, but we shall see. And lastly, before I ask you about what the Patriots D needs to do against the Atlanta offense, and I'm not really bothering with these offenses because I think I would imagine you'll agree that both of them are going to score some points. It's probably what defense can get more stops. But you mentioned that shoelace sack. I believe that was Rashid Hageman. Correct me if I'm wrong, but he seemed to have the game of his life after being a former high round pick that we haven't seen much of. Potentially one more guy that could sort of strengthen this interior rush, or will have to give Atlanta its best shot.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, it was Hageman who did it. And he was, I really liked him when he came out, and it just hasn't really pulled it together until recently. And I think this is the big question for the Atlanta Falcons. You know, you have a lot of guys who haven't been here before,
right.
and they're going to need some of them to step up. And Hageman, to me, is going to have to be one of those guys. They're going to have to. I mean, the Patriots know that they got to keep an eye on Babineau. They know that they have to keep an eye on Tyson Jackson or Vic Beasley, even Dwight Freeney, you know, old and feebled Dwight Freeney. a guy like Hageman, he's going to be one of those guys that has to step up and take advantage of the fact that the offensive line and the offense in general, when they're in protection schemes for the Patriots, is going to be focused on other people. And, you know, Hageman's going to have to make those little plays like he did. Even if, I mean, a sack is a sack. Shoestring sack, if you grab the bottom of his cleat, whatever works, Hageman's got to find a way to do it. And Brady's nowhere near as mobile as Aaron Rodgers, of course. So if the Falcons can keep him penned in, a guy like Hageman could really step up and have a pretty big day. And I do think that a guy like him is going to need to be that sort of fulcrum for this defense to sort of leverage the Patriots off their game plan.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And, of course, they need a big performance from Vic Beasley, too. That goes without saying. He hasn't really showed up that much in the playoffs, at least not to my from my vantage point. But he'll have to be on at his best, too, to pull off this upset. We had our friend of the program, Ty Shalter, was on before you, Andrew, and I asked him, I feel like it's kind of the million-dollar question here that no one really has the answer to, but I have to ask you as well, who guards Julio Jones? Malcolm Butler doesn't do a lot of shadow treatment, I don't feel like, unless it's Antonio Brown and the Steelers, but Bill Belichick, of course, the expert of taking away the opposition's best, we've heard that a million times. What do you think will be the plan for Julio, and who else kind of looms large in taking away the myriad weapons for Matt Ryan?
I think Butler. Butler's their best cover corner, which is sort of a low bar. They're not a great coverage secondary. They're really good tacklers, which sounds like a backhanded compliment. But in a game like this, when you have so many players who can get yards after the catch, I think that's actually going to be pretty critical. But I think I don't know that they shadow Julio, but I think Butler's probably the guy they're going to try and have on as much as possible. And then you're going to see a safety over the top. I mean, I don't think that they can risk having Julio Jones get past Butler. I think they need to have someone, could be McCourty, who's over the top, who's going to help contain him. The biggest problem you have with that is, well, all right, so you're able to contain Julio. What about either of the tight ends they have? What about Devonta Freeman? What about Tyler Gabriel, Mohamed Sanu. This is an offense that has a lot of weapons that they can pass to.
Yep.
So I almost wonder if we're going to see a lot of formations where they end up with a fifth corner or a fifth defensive back out there to try and make up for it. And then that kind of opens things up a little bit as well, because if you need to have a second person over to help shut down Julio Jones, then you could bring up one of the safeties, you know, into the box to either defend the run or to help deal with the inevitable Devonta Freeman out in the slot, which seems to have caused so many problems for so many teams, and I think would match up much better with a safety than it would be for the linebacking core. So it's going to be tough for them to shut down Julio. I think the best they could do is hope to contain him and keep him from breaking too many long plays. And to do that, you got to have that safety over the top. So I think you'll see probably a lot of Butler. And then my guess is a guy like McCourty probably to back him up and help harass Julio Jones, who's such a physical receiver and such a big guy that, you know, speaking of wearing people down for the fourth quarter,
right.
I, you know, if Julio has a big play, if he hasn't had it by the fourth quarter, I wouldn't be shocked if he has something big happen in the fourth quarter, because that's going to be one tired secondary.
Yeah, no doubt. And his versatility, too, they move him around the formation. He gets does everything from the quick slants to the go routes, and it's been really just a thing of beauty to watch the way Kyle Shanahan has used him and has sort of gotten Matt Ryan to flourish by going away from Julio, quite frankly, at some points. But let's talk just quickly. I got a couple more minutes here with Andrew Garda. And what about the Patriots pass rush and Shanahan's offense? Is a lot of movement and a lot of play action. But, you know, Matt Ryan has been the best quarterback in football, even better than Tom Brady. And if he's left to his devices without a lot of pressure, I'm sure it's going to be a long day for the New England defense. So who do you see, whether it be Trey Flowers or Rob Ninkovich, who will loom large up front and trying to get after Ryan in your eyes?
Well, it was really interesting to watch how they were able to stymie the Packers a couple weeks ago. The Falcons' offensive line is much better on the ground than it is in pass blocking, but they really stepped up even when Alex Mack went down. So right. I think the Patriots definitely have their work cut out for them. You know, you're going to have, you know, Dont'a Hightower, maybe Shane McClellan. You know, the linebackers are going to loom large, but I have this feeling. I feel like Jabal Sheard is going to be a guy who's going to step up and have a game. And I feel like between him and Trey Flowers, that right side defensive end position is going to be one that really has to show up and show out. Because, yeah, if you give Ryan enough time, he's going to kill you. And with all the weapons we were talking about, even the short passes are going to be too much. So I think you're going to have to see one of these guys, you know, who – yeah, there's no one guy on this defense. There's no J.J. Watt. There's no one person you can lean on. So it's going to be someone you don't expect. I feel like Sheard's been playing pretty well this season and isn't getting as much pub about it. So I actually feel like this is going to be a day where he steps up pretty hard.
Yeah, it certainly seems possible, and I tend to agree with you. He plays well, and he always seems to be flying under the radar, but I do believe that he is entering unrestricted free agency again, so this would be the opportunity on the NFL's biggest stage to make sure he is noticed and make sure he can parlay it into a big deal, whether in New England or elsewhere. Andrew, awesome stuff, as always. We really appreciate you having you on the podcast. Enough of the X's and O's discussion. What are your plans for Sunday? Do you have any kind of favorite Super Bowl rituals or anything like that? And what can we expect? What can we expect you to be doing? Where will you be taking in the game?
Yeah, my teams are never in, so I don't have any rituals other than you know, ordering a couple pizzas. I'll be sitting probably with my family and a couple of friends. We'll have the big screen TV going and some snacks. And what's become a lot of fun for me is I have a kid who's a sophomore in high school, and he plays football. He may start on varsity next year, and he's a lineman. Mm-hmm. So now watching the game with him, I get this running critique of everything everybody's doing on the offensive line. So that's kind of like, it's like having a, back when I used to work in the entertainment industry, DVDs, you had the director's commentary. Now I've got the Peanut Gallery gallery commentary. So that actually has become a lot of fun the last couple of years, to kind of watch the game from a technical standpoint through somebody else's eyes. It's just a lot of fun to sort of hear him. And some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth because he's a teenager is pretty hilarious. So,
very good. Well, my son is not yet two, and he'll be bouncing all over the place. And the things that come out of his mouth are quite interesting, too. But I'm not expecting a whole lot of football commentary. So hopefully he'll be on his best behavior and allow mom and dad to take in the game and relax for a little bit, too. Andrew Garda, a frequent Pro Football Weekly contributor. You can also find his work on at Sports on Earth. You can find him on Twitter at Andrew Garda. I think I got that right. Is there any special things in the handle or just Andrew Garda?
Andrew_Garda. But perfect. You can probably find me either way, really. So
perfect. All right, Andrew. We really appreciate it. I hope you enjoy the game, and we'll hope to have you back on soon to head into the offseason and talk about all the big news as we get to that juncture.
Sounds great. Thanks.
All right. That is Andrew Garda once again. And there you have it. That's Andrew Garda. Great stuff as always. And we thank Andrew for being back on the podcast. And I actually owe him an apology because in my frazzled state today, recording this podcast in multiple pieces and having some internet connection issues, I totally forgot to get his pick. But I will relay the text I just received from him. Said he's going with the Patriots. He's waffled a bit, but is going with New England. And so am I. I think we're going to get a competitive game, guys. I really do. And I think that's more that you can say for most of these playoffs. So that will be welcome, of course. But at the end of the day, I find the Patriots to be the more balanced team. Yes, Atlanta's playing better defensively in the second half of the season, but still a lot wider gap between their offense and defense than there is between Tom Brady's group and Bill Belichick's and Matt Patricia's. So New England still has a little bit better special teams as well. And then obviously the whole experience factor and Brady and Belichick chasing history. So I'm going to say New England 31, Atlanta 27. Again, in a postseason in which I believe the point differential combined is about 151, favorites are 8-2. At least we're going to be treated to a competitive game, or at least the way I see it. So that's going to do it for the Pro Football Weekly podcast. I'm thrilled that you were with us, hopefully twice this week, and enjoyed what you heard. If you did, I'd love it if you head over to iTunes and make sure you're subscribed. We've got lots of fun stuff in store for the off season. We'll be back next week breaking down this game. But as you guys know, or at least as you should know, the draft is our true bread and butter. So I will have Greg Gabriel back. I'll have lots of other guests coming, and we'll start diving really earnestly into some draft prep, and there's nowhere else you're going to want to get it than at the Pro Football Weekly podcast. So I'm your host, Arthur Arkish. For the rest of our team, we say thank you for being with us, and we hope you enjoy the game Sunday. Happy Super Bowl Sunday, and we'll talk soon.